Good afternoon, my name's David. Lots of Davids here. I've looked at the name, I've lots of Davids round and about. I'll crack on because we've only got half an hour. Reaching men through suffering and brokenness. I'm surprised there's so many men in here when you mention those titles. Because it's not really one of those topics that people maybe enjoy or would like to go through, or you know, when we speak or we hear speakers talk about becoming a millionaire or the prosperity gospel and all those things, but suffering and brokenness is it's part of the real walk with Jesus, and I don't believe that you can escape it. And I also believe that many churches are doing a disservice by saying when you come to Christ all your problems are solved, because that is a lie. It's maybe when your problems start, not because of him, but because of the works of the enemy and also ourselves. Some pointers just to start with. Suffering and brokenness does not come from God. It is a result of the fallenness of this world. However, God, to show his absolute total authority over Satan in all circumstances, will use it. There is a huge difference between causing and using. So just set that in your heart. I know it may sound challenging to some, but I believe that God will use suffering to drive us to the cross and keep us out of hell. That's another point. Finally, God has not removed the serpent from the camp, but he gives us authority over him. My name's David. I'm just an ordinary man who knows and walks with an extraordinary God and Saviour. I'm not ordained. I've not studied theology. I'm unskilled. I'm unlearned. But I've spent a lot of time with Jesus. And most of that time is him correcting me. Two books I would highly recommend before going any further. Number one is the Bible. There isn't a situation that I'm not going to talk about that hasn't been covered in here. The other one is the most amazing book. It's only about 80 pages long, and it's called Don't Waste Your Sorrows by Paul E. Bilheimer. An amazing book that squared all the circle for me in terms of how does a loving, gracious, merciful God allow suffering, death. It's called Don't Waste Your Sorrows by Paul E. Bilheimer. I'm not going to write another one on it because that one's so good and so concise that I've just pointed you to all those. I would just point you to that book. Been married for 26 years, but I've been with my wife for 38 years. We started going out when we were very small. I had three children, two sons and a daughter. I worked in agriculture all my life. I'm not a farmer. I work with farmers, and believe me, that's suffering. And the farmers in the room is... I've been through redundancy, I've changed jobs, I've had all the hassle that go with that. I've had nothing special in my life, I've just had an ordinary life in some ways. But in other ways, I've had quite an extraordinary life. Actually, as all our life should be. Because we're all walking with an extraordinary God. Three questions. Who here wants to be like Jesus? Who has prayed, Lord, I want to be like you and make me like you? Question number three. Who has suffered and been so broken that your life has disintegrated and you thought that God had forgotten or rejected you? There's a few of those. You're meant to be here today. I don't have all the answers. I'm just sharing what I believe and what I've learnt and what God showed me. In the Bible, it talks about patience in a lot of the modern translations, but I prefer the word long-suffering or the phrase long-suffering. Patience does an injustice to what sometimes we have to face as men. It's more than patience. It is long-suffering. And that creates character within us. I'm going to read lots of Bible and I'm not going to apologise for it. I'm going to start by reading Isaiah 53:1-8. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened his mouth not. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And that refers to who wants to be like Jesus. Romans 8 verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's Paul writing. And also 31 to 39. What then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. Are you getting the message here? 2 Corinthians 11:23-30. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labours, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness, besides the other things what comes upon me daily. Wow, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I must boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Wow. I won't read a lot more, because I know we're sort of pressed for time. No, I will. I'll just read one more. I'm sort of pressed for time. 2 Timothy 1 to 13. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not changed. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure and suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And lastly, I'll just go to I'll just leave that for now. I'll come back to that. Unfortunately, suffering is part of being a Christian. And for me, brokenness and suffering are part of the territory that we should expect, and we should be prepared for it, and we will be prepared through it, but we should never embrace it. There is a difference. If you had a friend who was going through suffering, who doesn't know Christ, can you explain why they're suffering? Can you explain why we have to go through brokenness? Because it's one of the things that we face in bringing men to Christ. Well, if your God was a loving God, why has my wife died? Why is my child poorly? Why did so-and-so get knocked off the bicycle? Are you prepared to answer these questions? They are life and death questions. They are literally life and death questions. In my experience, brokenness comes as a result of experience in suffering. A result of experience in suffering. Now, to clarify, the brokenness which I talk about is not taking a beautiful china vase and dropping it on the floor and destroying it. The brokenness I'm talking about is as one breaks a horse for service and purpose. That is the brokenness which it describes in the Bible. And if ever you want to watch or learn about what brokenness is in the way of breaking a horse, it's not doing what the old ways and throwing a saddle on a horse and whipping it to death until it stopped fighting. Watch the film The Horse Whisperer. It's about relationship. It's about the person coming alongside the horse and walking a journey with it. And to a point where the horse doesn't want to be by itself, it wants to walk with the person. And that is the brokenness of which I'm talking about. In all that I've gone through, and I've gone through a lot, maybe you've gone through more, but I've gone through a lot, God has never deserted me. I've maybe felt like it at times. I've maybe felt like he's rejected me, but he's always been there. And the moment I've turned, he's there. The moment I've called, he's there. But it's been a journey of going through the fallenness of this world and praying the prayer, Jesus, maybe make me more like you. It says, those who suffer with Christ shall reign with Christ. One of the scriptures which I haven't read was Jesus perfect? Yeah, but he was perfected through suffering. So how do you take something that's perfect and perfect it? And my only answer to that, and I'm not saying it's the correct answer, my only answer to that is you don't know if something's perfect unless you try it. And I think Jesus was perfected through suffering. He was perfect. And I think that's, you know, let's get our mind into this. That's, you know, it's one of those things that we need to look at our Saviour as an example. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. 4 years ago, I detested the Apostle Paul. All my life as a Christian, I used to question God and say, why is this man in the Bible? I'm being honest. Is he a misogynist? Is he arrogant? Is he just up himself? What an arrogance. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Who is this man? What do you know? Somebody once said, you know, you needed a whip and a chair to keep him down. He was just at you relentlessly. And that used to get under my skin. Until I saw and experienced extreme suffering. And I now love Paul with all my heart. I now know why Paul is in the Bible. I now can say with Paul, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. I'm not bothered whether I die. I've tasted it, I've seen it. I go to heaven anyway. So it's nothing to fear, is it? Not if you're a Christian. So that's one of those things. Just to give you a little insight into, you know, we all go through journeys. My wife's nearly died twice through pneumonia and a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. My youngest son at 5 years old was diagnosed with leukemia, went through 3.5 years of extreme chemotherapy. He had three times in intensive care, multiple organ failure three times. At 17, he was re-diagnosed with leukemia again, went through intensive care again, multiple organ failure. He was then also relapsed and he was re-diagnosed again. His leukemia was resistant to chemotherapy and had to have a bone marrow transplant. And then as a result of that, he suffered a condition called graft versus host disease, where the new bone marrow rejected his body. And that's not a very pleasant experience. And I watched my son go from a young man who could swim 2-3 miles. He was a lifeguard. He'd go for a 25-mile bike ride. He was a most amazing musician and who loved God with all his heart. Go to somebody who his nails fell out. He couldn't play the guitar. He needed three people at the end of his life to move him. And I watched that. I watched him in the 30 days on life support after his bone marrow transplant melt inside and outside. And I mean melt. But I'll come back to that later. Just after my son was diagnosed, my mum, in 1998, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she fought breast cancer for 15 years. My dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And I watched him die over a period of 7 years. And my mum loved him like I've never seen anybody love anybody before, with the exception of my son's girlfriend, the way she loved him. It was just inspirational. I was also had the privilege of being the chaplaincy visitor on the children's cancer ward at Leeds for just short of 10 years, where I did the children's cancer unit, the teenage cancer unit and the paediatric intensive care unit. And I got to know a lot of children and experience various things that comes with that territory. So I've experienced it. I'm not saying that you may have gone through a lot more than what I've gone through, and I'm not here to say mine's worse than yours. I'm just saying I've tasted it, I've seen it, I've tasted it. I will, however, say that if you don't embrace suffering, but you allow it to push you into God's heart, and only you can determine that. I mean, to hold on to something, you take ownership of it. But what I learned was to just give it over to God and say, God, I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to totally trust you. You know, it talks about a sacrifice of praise. I don't know if you've ever given a sacrifice of praise. I've stood up in church, opened my mouth and not been able to sing. I've been so broken inside. I've wanted to sing and nothing's come out. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have. Totally, utterly broken. I've watched worship teams with young men playing guitars. Inside me, I've been absolutely dying. So I've been saying to God, Harvey can't do that anymore, God. Why? But then over a period of time, God's taken me back to enjoying people playing the guitar, watching young people. And I think it's learning. It's going on that journey with him and trusting him. And he'll never let you down. But you will learn things that you will not learn in any way, shape or form. You'll not learn them at theology college. You'll not learn them. You will only learn them by going through them with God. I think most of the times as Christians we pray for deliverance from things. But actually God's power is to sustain us through them. And it's in being sustained through that you just give us your hand that you learn this. Just stand up. This is what you learn. You learn this. That That's what you learn. And you learn that he never lets go of you. Oh, sorry, it might be a bit embarrassing this.
No.
For those on the tape, I've now got a gentleman from the congregation to come and hold my hand. And this is all that God wants. Do you know that's his greatest desire? That's his greatest desire at any given moment in time, is just to hold our hand. Thank you very much. And that's what I've learned. On one point, just after my son had had his bone marrow, back marrow transplant in December 2012, he fell very, very poorly and had to go onto life support, and he was on life support for 30 days. They never thought he would come out of it. And I'm going to qualify this. I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles. I've seen the miracles of healing. I believe God can heal. I believe every word in that Bible from the beginning to the end. But also we have to discern as well. You know, blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. It's not about that. It's about walking with God and discerning God's will for that given moment in time. And you'll only do that through relationship. And you'll only do that by spending time with God. I don't know, for those who are married, if you can walk into your house, if you've been with your wife long enough, she's not said a word, you've not seen her, but you know what mood she's in. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it? Why? Because it's relationship. God's no different. God is no different. But on Christmas night of December 2012, I'll not go into all the things other than to say my son was melting. He was melting outside and he was melting inside. And he went into multiple organ failure. He had multiple complications. And I was watching him die. And praise God, there was only me there and the doctors. My wife didn't experience it, his girlfriend didn't experience it. There was only me there. And I won't go into it other than to say, at one point I was so angry with God. And this was just before they put him on life support. I was holding on to his bedside and I cried out to God with all my heart. God, do you understand? Can you see? Can you watch my son suffering? Do you understand, God? And like that, God said to me, now you know, David. Now you know what it cost me. And I'm not saying I've been to Calvary, but I've added insight into Calvary. And in that instant, which was possibly the darkest moment of my life, God gave me this jewel that is so big and so precious and so priceless and such a burden, I don't know what to do with it. And the jewel I've been given is, I see the value of every human being to God. I know how much it cost the Father, and I know how much it cost the Son. And when you've been given that, you never view human beings the same again. Even Osama bin Laden, even members of ISIS, because they're all made in the image of God. And Jesus died for every one of them. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to use it. And that is the miracle of God's provision in those moments. God teaches. I'm just a simple, ordinary man. God just teaches me through experience. He teaches me through journey. I do read his word. I study his word. But I can't recite the Bible like Stephen Redmond could or other great Bible scholars. I can't do that. I don't have that ability. But I do know in here. Does that make sense? God will never leave you. Never. He can't. It's not in his will. He will pursue you relentlessly. And the moment you turn around, he's there. No, he's just there. And Jesus, what a brother. What an absolute brother to have. I'll just go through And I think it's... if I'm being honest, every one of you who's sat in this room, I didn't know how many people are going to be in this room. And I said to God, God, if there's one man in this room, that's me. Well, it's been worth it. I'm like that with God. I'll turn out for the one. That's just my heart. I believe every one of you who's sat in this room today needs to be in this room for a reason and a purpose. I don't know where you are in your life, what you're facing, what you're going through, or possibly what you're going to face. God prepared me many times before I knew what I was going to face. God warned me. God told me. God told me when my son was going to die. Very strange, that, isn't it? Because people say, that's not the will of God. Discern the will of God. In all the way through his treatment, whenever doctors would tell us, I'm sorry, but this is the end, I would say, I'm sorry, but that's only information. I stand on the word of God. But the Friday, his last Friday he spent here on earth, his consultant came to us and he said, I'm sorry, but there's no more we can do for her. I'm going to have to withdraw treatment, start withdrawing treatment. And both me and my wife knew, we said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. And then on the Sunday, we had a wonderful day with him. And one of the most selfish prayers that I've ever prayed was on the Sunday morning. I looked down and it was the 6th of April. And I said to God, God, this is going to be really selfish, but I don't want Harvey to die on the 6th. It costs 60 notes in perfection. 7 denotes perfection in the Bible. Lord, in your grace, so I know that this is your will, let Harvey die on the 7th. Let him go to heaven on the 7th. And they went all the way through the 7th, sorry, the 6th, got to 8 o'clock. The shift change of nurses, and the nurse came on shift who said she'd love to be there if it was Harvey's last moments on earth. And I said to her, Sam, Harvey's going to die tonight, but it will be after midnight. It will be Monday. It will not be Sunday. Now, he was so poorly, he could have died at any given moment in time. But as I stroked my son's head, at just before 1:30 on Monday the 7th of April, 2014, my son stepped into heaven. And that's God's grace, but God prepared me for it. Now, a lot of people who were Christians would say, well, that's not God's will, 20 years old for your son to die. My son's in heaven. My son is in heaven. And I have no pain of the moment of my son's death. Have I grieved for him? You can't believe it. You don't believe how much I've grieved for him. The last 4 months, my mum and my dad died. In 16 months, my son's died, my dad's died, and my mum's died. But they're all in heaven. That's why we're here, to get people into heaven. Because I know there's a 4-stage process for CVM. Sometimes you can't get through 4 stages. And you are no nearer death at 70 than what you are at 20, or 5, or 14. Nobody knows. This isn't a negative speak, this is positive. Because you're all sat in this room for a purpose and a reason. What I know, and I can't explain, is that heaven is so good we cannot even comprehend or conceive how good it is. God resides there. But the flip side is hell is so unbelievably bad for what the Father and the Son went through to keep us from there. It's so unbelievably bad we cannot comprehend it. You don't hear people talking about hell nowadays. Well, I'm not that type of person. I will talk about heaven. I'll give a balanced gospel. George Whitfield used to say, no, preach a balanced gospel, one foot in heaven, one foot in hell, then you're being balanced. This isn't being negative, this is being really positive. And the final thing I will leave you with, gentlemen, I've got a really good friend who was a retired vicar, who was a vicar for over 40 years. He's the most learned, wise man you will ever meet in your life. He's gentle, He knows God. I shouldn't say this, should I? He's a born again Anglican.
There are a few
who knows God and has been for 40 years. When he was a vicar in London, he would be put into a church. The church would go from nothing to a success. The bishop would be so annoyed he'd move into another failing church. And wherever he went, and that's the time. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. And through grieving and suffering, brokenness. No, grieving is another part. You know, Jesus was acquainted with grief. These are all realities of life. And he said to me, look, David, you've grieved spiritually, your faith's intact, that's fine. But now comes the really hard bit where people fail and fall, and particularly people who are Christians and have faith. You've got to grieve through your humanity. You as a human dad who's grieving for a human son. That is painful, and you must allow God to take you through it, as hard as it is. And it's awful, it's hideous. But he said, allow God to sustain you through it. And at one point, I'll have to quit, it's nearly half past. At one point in my journey, I was praying one morning and I was on my knees. And I got so, so angry with God. And I mean venomously angry, to a point that I did not know I was capable of that anger. It actually frightened me. And I directed it all at God. I said to God, you know suffering. You don't know suffering. You suffered for a few days on a cross. Come on, get real. My son suffered for 3 years, at least 3 years. You don't know suffering. Come on, God. Come on, bring it on. You don't know suffering. You talk about suffering, you're only playing at it. And after a while, I was really frightened inside talking to God like that. I was actually verbalising it. I calmed down. I said, oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. He said, yes, David, you should. He said, get angry at me. I could cope with it. Don't get angry at people. God, I didn't know it was in there. No, you didn't, but I did. This is what I'm talking about, people. The reality of life. And then 3 days after, I was walking down the road and I got these words inside me. David, David, David. Oh, David. Do you just think I suffered on the cross? David, I suffered before time began. I suffered knowing what my creation was going to do to itself. And I've suffered watching my creation do to itself what it's done to itself. And then I knew I was going to have to go to Calvary. And I suffered at Calvary. And David, David, every day Harvey suffered, I suffered with him. Every day you suffer, I suffer with you. David, I didn't just suffer at Calvary. I'm a suffering God. I know it. I feel it. I taste it. I live it with you. And that's not theology, gentlemen. That is the reality of the God whom we serve, whom we worship, who saved us, and whom we need to bring men to. He's a good God. I'm a Christian as a result of Stephen Redman's wife. We met in 1998 when my son was first diagnosed cancer. And I won't go through the whole conversation, but at the end of the conversation, Pauline Redmond said, ah, but when you look at it all, isn't God good? And my son had cancer, their son had been given a month to live, and I looked at her, and I will tell you the honest words that I thought. The words I thought inside me was, bugger me, what did that woman just say? How can she say that God is good? How can she say it? That woman knows something. She's got the answer to life. And I thought, no, that woman knows someone. I want what that woman has. And gentlemen, I have it. I can tell you, all we've been through as a family over many, many years, God is with us. God is for us. He's not against us. And he will never leave us or forsake us. But it is a reality of the walk on a fallen world with an amazing God. Let me encourage you. if you face suffering, if you are going through brokenness, determine in your heart to allow it to push you into God's heart. And you will reach depths of his heart that you cannot explain. I have a prayer partner, and our favourite word is ineffable. Some things of God are just without explanation, and I wish I could share them with you. Thank you very much for listening.